الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll begin today with two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come from the same root word. The names, and this is number 15 and 16 in the order that we're studying. So I want to make clear that this order is just the way I personally have put it together, but this doesn't mean that this is the 15th and 16th name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't really give an order to these names because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these names for Himself in the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us about these in Sahih Ahadith, but not in any particular order. But in the order that we're studying them, number 15 and 16. Al-Khaliq and Al-Khallaq. Khaliq and Khallaq. Both of them coming from the root word of Khalaq. Khalaq. Coming Khaliq. For those of you who know Nahu or Sarf, you will know this is Ism Fa'il. The Ism given to the one who does a particular action. Khallaq is Ism Mubalagh. But they both come from the same root word, and we'll discuss the difference inshallah. The first thing to look at, what does the root word khalaqa mean? In Arabic, we usually take it to create, but in reality, if you look at the books of Arabic dictionaries, in those qawamus, like Lisan al-Arab, you will find that it also means to measure, to set proper proportions, to make things in proper proportion. Also to create out of nothing. And even when something was nothing, to make something out of that is also a meaning for khalaqa. To bring a thing into existence that has no precedence. Yani, when you look at, for example, the idea that kuffar bring, that a man came from a monkey. Now subhanAllah is ignorant to this at many levels, but one of the things is that it doesn't show man coming from nothing. It says that there was a monkey and then there was a man. And if you ask them what was before the monkey was a fish. And what was before the fish, it was a cell. And it was this. Until you ask them then what was before that, and they have no answer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Khaliq and Khallaq. One of the meanings to bring something that has nothing before. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought something that didn't evolve. It just was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered it. Now, the root word can be used for many things. When we talk about khalaqa, it can be used for the one who brings something in perfect measure and proportion, but in perfection. That's why if a human builds something, you cannot call him khaliq al-sharika or khaliq al-siyara. No, you can say he made it, but you cannot say khaliq, because this is reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes everything in perfection. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something, it's in perfection. When insan redesigns things, moves things around, there's always faults. Like any of you with Note 7 phones, you know, that nowadays, a beautiful phone, well-made engineers in years and years and years, and some of them, they're blowing up. So now they have to recall, they have to fix. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation is in perfection. When we talk about this, I want to have everybody do some tadabbur, yani some thinking. Look at what we make, or what we recreate, or what we reform. When insan makes something, there's always waste. Like when you build a building, you will see they'll have all this material that's left over. When you make a painting, there's all this paint that's wasted. When you cook food, there's all this scrap that's left. But the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in perfection. You know, one of the scientists I was working with, he was talking about a theory that him and some other scientists had developed about humans trying to live on other planets. And one of the biggest problems they had is, what do you do with the waste? Because the idea, if you just keep throwing it out and it doesn't go anywhere, then your spaceship or your colony on a different planet, and this is serious, this isn't like sci-fi stuff, these are actual scientists that were developing a study for an actual company. So they were saying that one of the problems we have is waste. We can't do anything with it. You can't burn it up in space. You just can't keep throwing fake junk out. And I told him, subhanAllah, like I told him, look at how Allah created the earth. Now, of course, they're not Muslim, so they didn't really take my comments all that well. But I said, look how Allah made the world. There's no waste. You know, when you throw your food out, natural. I'm not talking about plastics and things. The earth dissolves it. Ants eat it up. You know, an animal dies somewhere, ants go and finish that whole animal up. And everything goes back into that cycle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in perfection. You know, rain falls, water gets evaporated, the water doesn't increase or decrease, it just changes forms. Look at the perfection in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set something for everything. Every animal has his job. Every insect has its job. Things that we think are useless really have a lot of use. You know, if there weren't bees, you see all these honeybees and things going around. If there are no bees, there'll be no flowers. You know, everything has a purpose. The bee doesn't just go eat, it takes that pollen and spreads it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created in perfect measure. And that's why you cannot call it insan khaliq or khallaq, but this can be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next meaning, as we said, to bring something out of nothing, an insan can never do that either. A human can never bring anything out of nothing. Even if you clone something, you're making a copy of what already exists. It's like taking Shakespeare's work and making a copy of it. You didn't really write any of it. You just pressed a button and made a copy. Cloning DNA is the same way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created that DNA. Anything you try to make on earth, you're only either changing something that already exists or you're copying something that already exists. Insan never brings out of nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq who created the samawat and ard, and not just once, but He created over and over. Yani, when we look at the difference between Khaliq and Khallaq, both coming from Khalaqa, what's the difference? Khaliq to show somebody who creates something once or a time or two. Khallaq who continuously creates in perfection. Now Khaliq also creates in perfection. But for Khallaq, it is easy and He does it all the time. What does that mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the samawat and ardh in 6 days, as we see in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created Adam alayhi salam. He created Jannah, He created many things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just create the samawat and the earth and then that's it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues to create new worlds and new creatures and new creation. The universe, as scientists tell us today, it continues to expand. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to create new human beings that come on the earth, new animals that come, it is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, insan, if you make a masterpiece, and you're not making anything, as I said, you're only rearranging things, but if you do it once, you tell him, do it again, he's like, I can't do it. And if you do it again, the quality will be different. And it will be difficult for you to repeat something. Like if somebody makes a very good song, a singer, inshallah and halal, without music and things, we tell them do it again and they can't do it again. If they do it twice, they won't be able to do it a third time. If somebody gives a really good talk, really good khutbah, next time they won't be able to do it. Or one time they'll do it well, one time they won't. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-khallaq. Al-Khallaq, yani, He continues to create in perfection. Al-Khaliq, denoting the beginning of creation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
He created the skies and the earth and everything that's in existence. The arsh, everything. But al-khallaq denotes that that wasn't it. That Allah continues all the time to create and every time in perfection. And that's why neither one of these names can be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be given to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at al-khallaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, if He says kun, fayakun. If He says be, it is. That's how easy it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create. As Shaykh al-Islam, Taqiyuddin ibn Taymiyyah al-Hanbali, rahmatullah alayh, the great scholar of Islam, he said about al-khaliq is the creator and the maker of everything. But this is from the sifat of the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't become al-khaliq when He created the makhluq. He has always been the khaliq even when there was no makhluq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His essence, He is the one that can create and proportion everything in perfection. He didn't have to wait for there to be a creation to be al-khaliq. Now al-khaliq is mentioned in the Quran 11 times. 11 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this name al-khaliq for Himself. Inna rabbaka huwa al-khaliq al-alim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-khallaq al-alim. Twice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives His name al-khallaq. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says huwa Allahu al-khaliq al-bari al-musawwir. This is for khaliq. But twice in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also calls Himself al-khallaq. For example, in the ayah that I read, inna rabbaka huwa al-khallaq al-alim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yasin, bala huwa al-khallaq al-alim. Now you will notice something, both times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself al-khallaq, He followed it up with al-alim. And we'll discuss alim when we get there, but there is a hikmah, a beautiful wisdom behind that. When we talk about creating, we can create something, but when you create in perfection is when you are all knowing. Subhanallah, if you make a car, but you don't know everything, and humans will never know everything there is to know, there may be a flaw, your brakes may not work as Toyota found out the hard way. And you make a phone, it may blow up, like Samsung found out the hard way. You may make a phone and you get all these hacks and problems and software errors, and then you have iOS 10 and 11 and 12 and whatever you're going to release to fix the bugs that were in 9 and 8 and 7. Because insan never knows everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khallaq. He is the one that continuously creates in perfection, but He's Alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined these two names both times in the Quran, when it's in the Quran, to show that how is He somebody who can continuously create with perfection, because He's the all-knowing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, so He can continue to create in perfection. And this is important for us to know when we look at the difference in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Khaliq and al-Khallaq. When we look at these beautiful names, we also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them, especially al-Khaliq. He uses al-Khaliq to challenge the kuffar. It's very important. I hope all the brothers and sisters are paying attention to this, because this is important in da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He challenges the kuffar with this name. He says, أَمْ خُلَقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ هُمْ خَالِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or were they created by nothing? Or are they themselves creators of themselves? This is a challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to the kuffar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, أَمْ خَلَقُوا يَعْنِي هُمْ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. But He says, no, la. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells them, no. لا يُقِنُونَ. They have no clear faith. They have no yaqeen in what they're saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is, or did they create the skies and the earth? But nay, they have no firm. لا يؤمنون. They have no yaqeen in what they're saying. They're guessing. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a beautiful challenge twice now. And the third time in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, in the 59th ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the kuffar directly, أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُوْنَهُ يعني, are you the ones who created it? Talking about the human sperm and the development of the human. أَمْ نَحْنُ خَالِقُونَ Or are we the creator? So now, look at these three ayahs and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges the kuffar. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that were they created from nothing? Subhanallah. Like if you ask a kafir, even if he's a PhD or a double PhD or Stephen, whatever, Hawkins or whatever his name is, ask them, where did we come from? And they'll tell you, well, there was a cell and it came from this and it came from this and it came from this. But if you keep going, 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 in the end, they have no answer. In the end, where did the first cell come from? The first DNA, the first speck, the first light of electricity, the first anything, where did it come from? In the end, they will tell you, we don't know. We're just guessing. And that's why all these theories keep changing. Big bang and small bang and this development and development from many different types of cells and development from a certain cell. You know, there are trials and errors and trials and errors, and you develop the theory and then you change it and then you go, no, no, we're wrong about this. No, Darwin was wrong about that, and this scholar, this, you know, scientist was wrong about this. And they keep developing it because they really don't know. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them. Did you come from nothing? Everybody goes, no, we came from something. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them further and says, did you create yourself? Did you give yourself the eyes or the color of eyes that you have? Did you give yourself the height that you have? Did you give yourself the form that you have? No. In reality, none of us had any choice in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created us. And none of us are the creators of ourselves even. And this is a challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell, ask them, or did they create the samawat wal ard? Did they create the skies and the earth? Can any scientist, can any company come forward and say, Halliburton and all these, you know, big systems, can they come forward and say, we created the sky? Yeah, it was us. We made this cloud. We made the mountain. We made the earth. No. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says that they have, but no. Instead, nay, la yu'minun. They have no yaqeen even in what they're saying. Like a Muslim, we have our aqeedah. It's a sure thing. We have iman in it. We have yaqeen in it. We are sure about the Quran. Because it's the word of our Creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, la rayba fihi. There is no doubt in this book. Look at the yaqeen. He makes a clear statement. There is no doubt in this book. Today, no scientist can come forward and say that about a theory. Like we speculate in our theory, in our hypothesis, and we will check, and there will be trials, and there will be errors, there will be, you know, this trial, this trial, this trial, and then, oh no, no, we were all wrong, go back to the drawing board. Because they have no yaqeen in it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them and continues. And then He asked them, did you create the insan? The building blocks of the insan, did we make it? Did some factory make it? Did some matrix develop it? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقِينَ يعني الْخَالِقُونَ هنا يعني نَحْنُ We are the خَالِقُونَ We are the ones who created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with surety, which no human can say, and uses this as a challenge for insan, whether Muslim or kafir, whatever somebody may be, Christian or Jew or Buddhist, to think about this issue. Where did we come from? And when you think about it, you will realize that atheism is the most ignorant of thought. Even if many scientists today think that this is an answer, because in reality, in atheism, there's only questions and no answers. An atheist will question everything, but he will give you no answer, because he has no answers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Khaliq, the Khallaq, He is the one who created and continues to create in perfection, and He gives you answers for the questions you put forward. In the Quran, Allah SWT tells them who created them, and how were they created, and how the insan is created, and how the skies were created. Allah gives us those answers that no scientist can give us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Khaliq. And even the most advanced of labs, with the most intelligent of scientists, can never create anything. They cannot even create a fly. They can only duplicate, they can only copy, they can only change, they can mess with DNA, they can mess with the genes, they can mess with cloning, but they're only changing the form of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from nothing. And that's why one of the meanings of Al-Khaliq, the one who creates from nothing. Where there was nothing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of His creation. What is the haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name of Khaliq and Al-Khallaq? With both of them is that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created from nothing. Now this is very important, and I'm going to make some points in Aqeedah here that we'll go over again in the series of durus, were very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His creation from nothing, not from Himself. Like many of the Sufis today, and many of the Ash'aris and others in the past, they had promoted this idea of Wahdatul Wujud, saying that there's only one existence. And what they would say is there was nothing and there was Allah, and then Allah made the creation, so it must have been from Allah, yani from Himself, from being a part of Himself, so all of the creation is a part of Allah. A'udhu billah. And many of them, they would go to an extreme with this, where they would go so far as to say that you can even worship a tree because it's a part of Allah. You can even worship a cross because it's a part of Allah. A'udhu billah. We seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this kind of shirk. And the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He ordered the creation to be created, it was created from nothing, not from Himself. And that is why He is called Al-Khaliq. And that is the meaning that's behind Khalaqa, that He brought the creation from nothing. And I will mention something here, just so those that are watching, or those that are sitting, from the brothers and sisters, can today go and make two raka'ah to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being Muslim. What should we do? Make two raka'ah to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam. Because Islam gives you such a beautiful, pure answer to everything. A logical, a scientific, beautiful answer. But other religions, they have some views that I will mention here, just so you can thank Allah for your hidayah. And maybe somebody who follows one of those religions can watch this video and become a Muslim. Hindus, according to their own books, and I actually own some of these books now, so if somebody wants to look at them, you can see them. They believe that the creator amongst their many gods was Brahma. Brahma, he was the creator. Now, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator that was never created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator, He's always been there and He always will be there. There's no beginning or end to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the creator. The makhluk has a beginning, the creator, the khaliq, or khallaq, has no beginning. But Rahma, according to Hindu texts, came from a cosmic golden egg. Came from what? A cosmic golden egg. This is the belief of maybe a billion Hindus in the world, that from a golden egg. Now I asked a question from somebody who is a student of the Hindu and Buddhist faiths, where did the egg come from? And he said, nobody knows. There was a cosmic egg. Maybe it was a big cosmic chicken somewhere that laid that cosmic egg. I don't know. And when he broke from the egg, he created demons from his thigh, when he was distracted, subhanAllah. You know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never distracted. But Brahma got distracted, so accidentally he made demons from his thigh. So he gave up on this creation, and they became the nine. Then he created the day. And then he gave up on that creation, and that became gods, and they became the day. Then he created Brahmins, a race of people from the head, and they are the priests. And Kshatriyas from his hands, and they are the warriors and kings. And the Vaishyas, the trader or businessman doing the oldest profession, and they came from the thighs as well. And the Sudras, the untouchables from the feet. And he made humans into these castes that can never mix. And according to the Hindu texts, because the Brahmins were created from the head, they were the only ones that were allowed to read and write and be priests. Nobody else could become a priest. Nobody who was born in a different family, even if they studied a lot, they couldn't become a priest. And they couldn't marry from the other castes because they were the most supreme. And the Kshatriyas, they were the warriors, and the kings had to be from them. Nobody could be a king but them. Such a racist caste system. And then the Vaishyas, they were the business people who were lower than both of them, and they couldn't read or write, they would just be the workers. And the Sudras, the poor people, whoever was born into a Sudra family of no fault of his own, they would be untouchables. They would be treated so bad that if their shadow was to go over your food, you wouldn't eat that food. Talk about some prejudice. There were people that couldn't drink from the same cup as you, let alone ever marry from anything that's a different caste. And this is a part of the religious belief. And nobody challenges this. What kind of apartheid, you know, prejudice, racist belief system is that? Look at the beauty of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from dirt from all over the earth, with different colors, different mixes. So we are all children of Adam alayhi salam. All equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No precedence of Arab over Ajam, or white over black, or any of this. The only way to be better is to strive hard in your piety, in your taqwa. Anybody, somebody could become Muslim tomorrow. And if they study hard, they could be the biggest alim on earth. There is no racial background. If you look at Islam, some of the greatest ulama of Islam were Ajam. In Hadith, you look at Al-Bukhari, you look at Muslim, Al-Tirmidhi, you look at all these great scholars of Hadith, they were Ajam. In Fiqh, you find the great ulama like Abu Hanif and others, they were not Arab. If you look at even Arabic grammar and Nahu, look at Sibawayh, the greatest scholar of Arabic, is Ajam. Because Islam doesn't have racism. Some of the great scholars are Arab, like Imam Ahmad and others, and Al-Shafi'i. So in Islam, it doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what household you were born in. What matters is how you strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, just to, inshallah, educate our sisters as well. Then, according to the Vedas, and I have the books if anybody wants to look at them, Brahma made several wives. The first of them, Saraswati, the first wife, was also his own daughter. Brahma, according to Hindu texts, his first wife was also his daughter. I don't know how he got a daughter without a wife to begin with. Who gave birth not to four children, but to four books. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. They're called Vedas. The Vedas. And then, according to these Vedas, Brahma created woman as the source of all evil. No. That's not the Islamic belief. In Islam, men, women, everybody created upon good. But the Hindu belief is that Brahma, he created women as the source of all evil. And in the Vedas, according to Brahma, woman is a blazing fire. She is the sharp edge of the razor. She is a poison, a serpent, and a death all in one. Quote. Subhanallah. Look at the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives women in the Quran. Look at the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Maryam alayhi salam. When her mother, even the Maryam alayhi salam's mother alayhi salam, she turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she dedicated her offspring that was in her stomach for worship. And when it was born, it was a girl and she was worried. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised women and said that the man is not like a woman. Yani a man doesn't reach that level. A woman was chosen to be as patient, as honored as Maryam alayhi salam. And we look at Aisha radiallahu anha, Khadija radiallahu anha, you look at Hawa alayhi salam, you look at the wife of Fir'aun, even though Fir'aun was a horrible man, look at the praise of Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Look at Fatima radiallahu anha, you look at the greatest of the scholars of the fiqh that has to do with family matters amongst the Sahaba, Aisha radiallahu anha. One of the greatest narrators of hadith, the fourth highest number of hadith reported from Aisha radiallahu anha. Look at the honor given to women in Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that men and women, they will be rewarded, both of them, for the good that they do. But what do we find in the Vedas? A very different story. I want to end this with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma about the makhluk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation by ordering. As we know in the Quran, فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَلَىٰ كُنْ فَيَكُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says be, and it is, and that is how easy it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create. But according to Abdullah ibn Umar, in the authentic narration, there are four creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with his own hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says, why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have also ordered them and they would be created, but to honor them, to show a great honor for them. One, the arsh. The arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with his own hands. Second, the qalam, the pen. And know that al-qalam is something honored in Islam. It's something very powerful. This is a weapon for the believer. The qalam, it is a very strong weapon if you know how to use it properly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-qalam, not this one, but al-qalam, that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his own hands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Jannatul Adn. Jannatul Adn, and we'll discuss that inshallah in detail about the different levels and different parts of Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul Na'im. We'll talk about that inshallah later in the durus. But Jannatul Adn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with his own hands to honor Jannatul Adn. And the last of them that I'll mention here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. Adam, our grandfather, Adam alayhi salam, with his own hands. And that is how honored the human is, that the jinn and the other animals that were created by kum, fayakun. But the insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the original, Adam alayhi salam, with his own hands. The next name that we will cover, and inshallah, that is the 17th, is Al-Bari. Al-Bari is close to Al-Khaliq. And Al-Musawwir, which will continue after this, is also close. But we'll go over the fine differences in the end, inshallah. Al-Bari, with the meaning of the originator, the maker, the evolver. And that's a very important difference between Khaliq and Bari. Because Khaliq, as we discussed, somebody who creates something out of nothingness. Al-Bari can have that meaning as well, but Al-Bari also has the meaning of somebody who evolves or changes something that already exists. The root words Ba-Ra and Hamza. The Hamza, Ba-Ra up with Hamza. This is the root word for Bari. A creator and the one who evolves something that already exists. The one who is free. And that's a very interesting aspect here. Bara also meaning to be free. As mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ana bariwan من كل مسلم يقيم بين أظهر المشركين. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned the hadith in Abu Dawud, in Tirmidhi, and Al-Bukhari consider the hadith to be da'if. But we're actually discussing the linguistics here. The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أنا بريء. I am بريء. I am free from every Muslim that continues to live with mushrikeen. And many of the ulama explain this meaning that you live with them and assimilate, you leave your religion, you take on their practices and things. But that's not really the point we're discussing here. But here, meaning al-bari, yani I'm free from them. But free, like even the English word free has many meanings. One could be, I'm free from you. Yani whatever you do now, I'm not responsible for that. And that's the meaning here. One could mean free, like something is free, go ahead, take this phone, it's free. That's a different meaning. One could be free, like I live free, I'm free from oppression. Those are all different meanings. But here, one of the meanings that also come from Al-Bari, for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be free from something. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free from? Any evil or fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create anything in evil. But evil exists by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of our actions, because of what we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in perfection. We are the ones that destroy it. Look at the atmosphere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth in perfection. If it was an inch one way or an inch the other way, it would freeze or burn up. Everything was in perfection, but insan, and I don't care what Trump says, when we cause pollution and when we cause corruption, when we cause an extravagant lifestyle to destroy nature, we cause things to go out of balance. Global warming, things that we're seeing today. Because we don't develop things in perfection. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is free from all of that. That is because of our actions. Even though Allah is Qadir, Allah wanted to finish all of the humans and put the earth back to the way it should be, Allah can do it. But He allows us to make decisions because those decisions will cause us to be accountable. Those who destroy the environment, to harm humanity, to harm the earth, they will be accountable for that. And those who don't make israf, who don't waste, those who use things wisely, who don't waste water. Like the Prophet ﷺ told us that even if you're making wudu on the side of a river, you don't make wudu more than 3 times. Even if you're at the flowing river, the water is going back in, but you don't make israf. You don't waste. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-bari, means the one who develops, who creates, who evolves. But it also has the meaning of the one who's free from any imperfection, from any evil in his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any imperfection. We are the one that cause imperfection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this for Himself in the Qur'an 3 times. Al-Bari. Hu Allahu al-Khaliq al-Bari. In Surah Hashr. And 3 times in the Qur'an. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, Imam al-Tabari, the great Mufassir, he talked about Al-Bari. He says, Alladhi bara'a al-Khalq. What is he? Is the one that formed and developed the makhluk and ordained it with his qadr. He is the one that ordained it with his qadr. And that brings us to the 18th name, Al-Musawwir. Al-Musawwir, the one who gives shape and form. Yani sawara. And this is mentioned once in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Himself Al-Musawwir. Hu Allahu Al-Khaliq Al-Bari Al-Musawwir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these 3 names together. Ibn Kathir, Imam Ibn Kathir, the great scholar, the great Mufassir of Quran, he talks about the difference between Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari' and Al-Musawwir. And he says Al-Khaliq, yani the one who ordains in Qadr something to be created from nothing. And Al-Bari', the one who carries out that Qadr and creates and develops and evolves his creation. And Al-Musawwir is the one who says, Kun, فَيَكُونَ. Who says be and it is. One of the other great scholars and my own teachers, he gave an amazing explanation about this. He said that Al-Khaliq, the one that creates from nothing. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Al-Khaliq when he created the samawat and ard from nothing. He created water from nothing. He created the arsh and al-qalam and everything from nothing. Al-Khalaq, yani he continues to create from nothing, and both of them creating in perfection. Yani perfectly, in proper measure. Then al-Bari, yani the one who creates and then evolves his creation. He continues to change that creation to perfection for its environment. What does that mean? It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the tools needed to survive. If a particular animal needs a very long neck to get to his rizq, Allah will cause that neck to grow. If a particular animal needs a strong beak to get to its food, Allah is al-Bari. He will make that beak strong so it gets to its rizq. Today, scientists tell us that this animal is related to this animal, but it needed a softer beak, so it developed a softer beak. When you ask that scientist, how did that happen? Like, did an animal suddenly snap its, I don't know, claws or whatever, and the beak became soft? No. Over hundreds of years and generations. Well, who did that? That animal's already dead, so he didn't do it. Who did it? Who developed that beak? Here, the scientists have no answer in reality. Some of them will tell you it is through the survival of the fittest. But this doesn't really make sense. Because if you're saying that a particular animal went from having a 2-inch neck to a 2-foot neck, well, none of them had a neck that was 2 foot for it to survive. At one time, you, the scientific community, tell us that all of their necks were 2 inches. And then hundreds of years later, they all became 2 feet. How did that happen? A particular animal had no way to fly. And then after hundreds of years, all of that species is now in flight. They can't even walk properly. So this tells you there is a creator who didn't just create but evolves his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the answers in the Quran that no scientist has in his research. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Bari. He continues to create and evolve and shape his creation. And he is musawwir. Musawwir also meaning to create. But one of the meanings of musawwir, to give form, to give color, to give beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives surah. He gives a shape to his creation. He didn't just create the creation and just leave it, but he also made the creation beautiful. Subhanallah, he gave it colors. He gave it smells. He gave it attraction. You know, when you go out to the ocean and you sit and you look at this beautiful ocean, Allah created that ocean and he made it beautiful in perfection. When you look at the birds and the different colors those birds have, a mu'min, a believer should look at this and think, Subhanallah. I asked a scientist once, a very intelligent man, but not a Muslim. I asked him, why do fruits have taste? Scientifically, he claimed to be an atheist. I told him, why does a mango taste? I mean, if it wasn't for our consumption, why does it have taste? Why do different birds have colors? Not just for camouflage, otherwise a green would be the best camouflage for them. Why do the mountains have a beauty when we look at a green flush forests and mountains and waterfalls? Who gave it that beauty and why does it have beauty? He stayed silent. No answer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala musawwir, he gives form and beauty and color and shape to his creation as well. And that's why the insan is forbidden from trying to make tasweer, yani paintings and pictures. Because this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make in perfection. Insan can never make anything except to try to copy a cheap copy of the beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make a painting, even if you make the Mona Lisa or whatever beautiful painting that, the kuffar, they praise and paid millions of dollars for, in actuality, he didn't make anything. He's just trying to copy what he can imagine or what he sees from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how foolish is the insan that he makes these pictures and all based on the creation of Allah and then worships. He worships that thing he made with his own hands. You see a man make an idol, a statue, with his own hands, and he gives it feet and legs and heads and eyes and sometimes the head of an elephant and the body of a human. But all of that he makes is also trying to copy something that Al-Khaliq created from nothing. And then he puts that statue up and gives it the right of Al-Khaliq. It's a great oppression. That statue falls and breaks, you can't even protect it. Then you make another one. Subhanallah. You see this with your own eyes. And you give the haqq of Al-Khaliq, Al-Khallaq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir to something you made with your own hands. This is dhulm. This is a great oppression. Inshallah, we'll end here with these beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Musawwir being the last of them, number 18. And I hope all the brothers and sisters are memorizing and understanding these, inshallah. So by the end of these durus, we have memorized not just 99, but inshallah, more than that, from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khair.
إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ